This week, families in our country will be celebrating Thanksgiving. It may be different this year, but we will still probably eat a lot. We will still probably watch at least some football. We will try to avoid the family feuds with the people that you know you should invite, even though it may be hard. I don't know what's going to happen with Black Friday shopping. Probably the stores are going to say, please shop online. Maybe it's going to be online for the rest of the season. We don't know. But what we do know is that we have a good, good Father who loves us unconditionally. His steadfast love endures forever. And as we join together, whether it's here in church as a family, whether it's at home with some smaller group of family, we know that God's love and His goodness is something that we need to celebrate all year long and not just on this week. But I'm thankful that our country has said, let's do that. Let's set a time aside. Most of us are not farmers, so we're not bringing in crops and we're not thankful for what's in a silo. But I'm thankful for God's provision through the year. I'm thankful for His blessings through the year. And it's worth stopping to think about that. Just for fun, quick Thanksgiving quiz. How many dark meat lovers are there out there? Raise your hand if you're a dark meat person. Raise your hand if you're a white meat person. See more hands there. How many like their cranberry sauce in the shape of a can? That's what it's supposed to look like, right? Comes out of the can, it looks just like that. How many of you like it all lumpy and chunky and... It's a little more natural, right? But I like them both. How about pumpkin pie eaters? Still enjoying the pumpkin pie? Those of you that follow me online know that I'm a pumpkin-aholic. And Cindy bought absolutely everything there was that was pumpkin, and that's part of my COVID 2025, whatever we're getting to here. But I had pumpkin cookies, I had pumpkin cereals, I have pumpkin creamer still in my coffee. All kinds of good pumpkinness, and I love the pumpkin pie. Jack and I made a couple of homemade ones for our pie and praise. So if you want to taste Jack's pumpkin pie, you can come to our house tonight. Getting a little more focused on our hearts, you don't have to answer these out loud. Where does being thankful fit in to your schedule this week? Where does it fit into your everyday? Are you truly thankful for the food that God has blessed you with? Do you stop and give thanks? Do your kids remind you, we didn't pray yet? Especially in this COVID season where sometimes we're sitting in front of the TV instead of sitting at the table. It's very easy to just kind of, whoever's there first to start eating, but be thankful for the food God provides. Are we thankful for the family and the friends that God has given us? Are we really thankful or even content with what we have and where we are right now in life? How should we express that thankfulness? This morning, I'd like to share a passage in the book of Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 4. And as I was talking to Rich this morning, just before the service, he said online that was the most underlined passage in electronic Bibles, this passage in Philippians. What does God say about the blessings of Thanksgiving? It should be more than a once-a-year holiday for feasting. Thanksgiving, or giving thanks, especially to God. So it should be central in our lives, in our thoughts, and especially in our prayers. If you learn from God's Word how to be thankful, as we'll see this morning, you will be blessed, and you will find real contentment and experience true peace. These are some of the blessings of being thankful. Before we read God's Word this morning, it will be on the screen, but you're welcome to follow along in your Bible, Philippians chapter 4. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this morning, this time that we could come together to lift up our hearts and our voices in song to You. Come ye thankful people, sing. We've sung that song for generations, for centuries. And we're so thankful to not only your provision for us every day, for the next breath, for the next food that we eat, but more importantly, your provision of eternal life, of a right relationship with you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to be our sacrifice, to pay the penalty for our sins. Thank you, God. As we open your word this morning, as we look at the blessings of living a thankful life, I just pray that our hearts and our ears would be open, that we would not be just hearers of the word, but we would be doers, and that we would put into practice the things that you teach us. Most of all, Lord, I just pray that everything I say this morning would bring honor and glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Philippians 4, the end of verse 5 through 7. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hopefully it's easy to see the five blessings that are in this passage. Jesus Christ is always with his followers. You don't need to worry. You can talk directly to God, and you can bring your requests to God. And finally, as we do these things, as we live a life of thanks, God's perfect peace protects you. We're going to look at these one at a time this morning. First of all, Jesus Christ is always with his followers. The Lord is at hand. It's a simple statement of fact, but it's a powerful one. The Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at hand. He is nearby. For followers of Jesus Christ, you are never alone. He's always with you. Jesus promised his disciples, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I will come again, and I will always be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." The return of the Lord is also coming soon. This phrase means both of those things. Jesus Christ's day, the day of his returning in the clouds, is at hand. For us, for humanity, we've been waiting for 2,000 years, but God still sees it as imminent. It's any moment. Jesus will be returning for his followers and ushering in the final days, years of our world, taking us home to heaven. We're just here temporarily. As David said, we're sojourners. God's word uses that phrase to talk about someone who's traveling, someone who just lives in a tent because they need to be ready to pack up and go when God calls them. Our lives here, even though this is all we know, are still just a small portion of our eternal lives that will go on forever. Our real home is in heaven. Paul said we're citizens of heaven. Your passport has been stamped and it's the book that says you are a citizen of heaven. So as we walk through this world getting it stamped along the way, we remember our citizenship, where we belong. Our real home is heaven. That's the place where we're going to return. We're just passing through on our way to heaven, our eternal home with God. So we should have a short-termer attitude. That's something that guys and maybe women in the military would think about, a short-termer's attitude. You're getting close to going home, and things just start to feel different. You think about what you're doing, and yeah, I can get through this today because in just a couple weeks, in just a month, I'll be home again. No matter what's going on, I can make it because I'm going home. It should affect the way we think about accumulating material things. It should affect the way we think about being content with what we have. Do you have enough? Do you have what you need? Or do you always want more? Life here on earth is real. But our hearts were made for more. God placed in every person the concept of eternity, a desire to know your Creator, a desire to live and be right with Him. And that's what God draws us to. His Holy Spirit draws us to completion and to that final day when His creation will be made perfect and whole again. We're looking forward to heaven, but the book of Revelation that David read from says that heaven's coming down and there will be a new earth. And God will be our God and we will be His people. And that's the day that we're not only reunited with our loved ones, but it's the day that we begin eternity with Him. I'm looking forward to that. Are you?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is always with you. Secondly, as a person who is thankful, you don't need to be worried. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Why? Because Jesus is with you and you have nothing to fear. As Sue read for us from the Psalms, what can man do to me? God is with me. In Matthew 6, Jesus talked about not being anxious for our lives. He said, the things that you worry about, what you're going to wear or drink, about your body, about your clothing, isn't life so much more than just food and clothing? Your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need, and He promises to provide it for you. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be provided, all the things you need when you put eternity and you put heaven first, when you put glorifying God at the top of your list, then all of those other things become less important, but God still provides them. And we can stop and say, wow, thank you, God, for all of these blessings, things that I wasn't looking for, but as I look back, I can see your hand over and over again, caring and providing for me. The things that I struggle with is defining what I need versus what I want. Anybody else struggle with that? I'm the shopper in our family, if you don't know that. I love shopping. Do I really need another pair of boots? Probably not. If I value God's kingdom, my focus begins to be about other people, how I can serve them, what I can do for them, how I can share God's love for them, rather than filling up my closet with boots and other stuff. When we often think about things that may or may not actually happen, that's another cause for anxiety and for worry. Things that may or may not happen. This is one of those statistics that I don't know how you prove it, but something like 99% of the things we worry about never happen. How many of you lay in bed thinking about the next day and all the things that might happen, and you're trying to sort it all out and figure it all out, plan it all out, and you start worrying? And there are a lot of what-ifs. What if my stuffing this week is not perfect like Mom's? What's going to happen? What if my kids can't come home for the holidays? Will I ever see them again? What if I have a huge pimple or a really bad hair day on Christmas picture day? Is that going to ruin my life? What if she really doesn't like me? What if my kids never go back to school again? Some of these are valid, but they're things that we worry about. This week I heard about the increasing number of people suffering from anxiety and depression, especially during this crazy COVID year. The meme of the century is just going to be 2020, whatever, right? You've seen them all. What's going to happen next? People are worried. People are depressed. They're thinking about what they've lost, and they're anxious about what's going to happen next. How do we handle this stress when life is so uncertain and so unpredictable? God calls us to come to Him, to bring our worries and our cares to Him. Followers of Jesus Christ who have been reconciled to their Heavenly Father, their good, good Father, can enjoy the blessing of bringing Him your burdens in prayer, telling Him about all the things that you're worried about, and then leaving them with Him because He cares for you. He provides for you, and He knows exactly what's going to happen. And He has you in the palm of His hand, never leaving you, never forsaking you. We can take those things to God and rest easy. We can breathe out a sigh of relief. God's got this. He's got it. I don't have to worry about it. Can you remember those times as a kid when you were scared about the big spider in your room or something else that was wrong? Maybe spiders still bother you, but you just called Dad and said, Dad's going to take care of this. And your fear went away. Unless Dad came back and said, I lost it. Then all of a sudden it spikes right back again, right? When we give things to our Heavenly Father, we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to hang on to them. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. We need to think about our problems in light of the truths of Scripture. This summer we looked at God's promises, His unconditional love. We need to be in His Word so that we're remembering those things, that we're rehearsing them, and that God is reassuring us over and over again. In the book of James, the brother of Jesus said, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Life is short. Don't worry. Instead, trust God and His love for you. As we read about God's faithfulness in His Word to people all around the world, through the ages, we can see God's faithfulness in the lives of our church family. Hearing David's testimony this morning and hearing about others and seeing God at work is encouraging to our hearts. And that's why it's important for us to be together and to communicate with each other. Even during the lockdown period where we weren't meeting in person, we needed to talk together. We needed to share with each other that we care and that God is still at work. He's still doing great things. If you're not part of a growth group already, Mark mentioned we have two more pie and praise nights where we share pie, which is great, and we praise God, which is even greater. So if you haven't come to one yet, come to our house tonight or stop in at the Pilgrims. And then in December, we're planning to do the same thing with Christmas cookies. How many of you like Christmas cookies? How many of you started baking cookies already? It's a time when we can be together, when we can fellowship, but we can enjoy God's blessings. We need each other. We really do. So please, as you think about your worries and cares, share them with God, pray, and then you talk to a brother or sister in Christ. Let them pray with you and care for you. And that's the next blessing, is that we can talk directly to God in everything by prayer and supplication. Instead of worrying about our problems, instead of trying to figure them out for ourselves, God tells us to come talk to Him. Prayer and supplication. What does supplication sound like? If you thought about a root, what word is in the beginning of that? Supply. God says, come to me to supply your needs. He knows our needs and He promises, but He wants us to come to Him so that we recognize that it's Him who's doing it. In everything, be thankful. All of our prayers should be with thanksgiving. Our lives should be lived in thanksgiving, recalling the blessings that God has given you, remembering His faithfulness over and over again. And that's one of the blessings about being together, whether it's with your physical family or your church family, to hear those stories. My grandfather started almost every story with, "Stop me if you've heard this one before." And of course, we didn't stop him. And of course, we heard it before. But when you heard it 39, 40, 42 times, it started to stick. And you remember those stories. Those are important. God's word says, when you sit, when you rise, when you walk, tell your kids about God's faithfulness. That's got to be part of our lives, to rehearse that. And especially if you're a grandparent or one of our older generations, make sure your kids and your grandkids know about all the great things God did in your life and He's still doing. They need to hear that. Showing your gratitude, acknowledging that God has answered your prayers. We have a place on the back of our prayer sheet for praises and then new prayer requests. I would love to see that praise column filled up every week as we see and recall the things that God has been doing. We need to stop and remember when we've asked for something to say, thank you, God. Thank you for providing. Are you giving God the credit? Do you do that in your daily talk? When something great has happened, do you say, that was all God, and I'm so thankful for it? In the Old Testament times, before Jesus came, before the Messiah, there was a priestly system, there was a temple, there was a holy of holies, a place where God's presence dwelt. And the priests offered up the prayers on behalf of the people. They brought in their incense and they sent up a sweet smell to heaven, and they prayed and talked to God for the people. But when Jesus Christ came, the Messiah, to bring us reconciliation to God, it says that the temple veil was torn in half, that now people could enter into the presence of God face to face in prayer. Ephesians 2 said, Jesus is our peace, who broke down the dividing wall of hostility to reconcile us to Jesus through the cross. In Him, we have access in one Spirit to the Father over and over again in God's Word. Believers are told to pray without ceasing. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray for one another. It's a blessing and it's a privilege to be able to come before the God of the universe with our prayers, with our requests, and also with our praise. There are some churches that teach that we should pray to saints as though God was too busy to hear us, or that we should pray to Mary because she was the mother of Jesus. There are no examples in Scripture of people praying to saints, people praying to angels, people praying to anyone other than God Almighty. So why would we do that here on earth? We have a privilege and the blessing of being able to come. In Hebrews, we read that Jesus Christ Himself is our great high priest. We have access to God. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. In John 14, the gospel, as Jesus was letting His disciples know that He was getting ready to leave, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Jesus is our intercessor. He's the one that we pray through, and He's the reason that we have the ability to come talk to God. Our third blessing related to prayer is that we can bring our requests to God. Back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, let me reread that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Through thankful, grateful prayer, God wants us to come to Him with our needs, come to Him with our requests. And notice that it's our requests. Let your requests be made known to God. It's not our demands. Again, there are some churches that say, you go in there and you tell God exactly what you want and He's going to give it to you. God forbid that we would go to the God of heaven and demand anything of Him. As Isaiah said, I am just a sinful man Who am I, God, to come to you? But we were bought with a price. Jesus Christ's own blood shed on the cross gives us righteousness and an ability to go to God directly. And we can do that in prayer. But we don't go demanding. We don't go saying, this is what you should give me. We go with requests. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Only the humble can approach God. So how could we go in arrogantly? Jesus reminded the disciples that the purpose of prayer is God's exaltation, not your own. He said, ask whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The glory is not for us, but for the Father who answers in the name of his Son. At the end of this chapter, Philippians 4, Paul said, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will take care of everything you need. But again, it's for the glory of God, not to elevate us, not because we deserve it, but to give him glory. He's pleased to care for his children. Isn't that a blessing that we can come to God and bring our requests directly to him? And finally, as we do all of these things, the result is a blessing of peace. His peace will protect you. This peace is beyond comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. We can't understand how deep this peace is. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when things were going so crazy and you had peace through it that other people wondered if you were crazy? Is there something wrong? Are you denying that any of these things are happening? Do you realize what's going on? Yes, but my Father has it. Have you experienced that peace that you say, I don't know how I have it, but it's there. Praise God for that. You can find peace that calms your soul. It guards your heart from unbelief. It protects your mind from depression, from anxiety, and it's beyond our understanding. God knows your heart. He knows how it works. And as we bring our burdens to him, he can give us a peace that just settles it all down and lets us rely on him. When you trust God, when you cast your cares on him, he will give you peace and he will give you rest from your worries. With thankful hearts, when we remember his faithfulness, when we remember his goodness through our lives, we are encouraged and we're strengthened to face today's problems with peace and even with joy. That's why setting aside this time of thanks is so important for us, for our families. We need to stop and thank God. We need to hear about God's faithfulness in the lives of others. And as I said, our children, our grandchildren, others around us need to hear about God's faithfulness. When trials come, and we know they will come, we know that God is allowing us to grow and to mature, to become more like Jesus Christ. So we can be thankful for those trials. We can see how God's hand was through them and how he not only went through that difficulty with us, but he taught us things about him. He taught us things about ourselves, and he shows us that we can overcome anything in this world because Jesus Christ is always with us. The God of peace will be with you. Paul began this chapter with the encouragement, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. That's how this chapter begins. Who's Paul writing to? My brothers, my beloved. He's writing to believers, to followers of Jesus Christ. Those that recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. That his blood was the only payment that God would accept for the penalty of our sins. That's who he's speaking to. So if someone randomly picks up this book and reads, "I can have peace and no worries," that's not true if you're not a child of God. These promises, these blessings are reserved for his children. But he says, "I would have all come to me." God desires that all would be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's not turning anyone away. We're unable to do anything about our own sin. We can't bake enough pies. We can't give enough to the poor. We can't pay enough penance or do anything in our own flesh that can erase the penalty of our sins. Eternal separation from God. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could pay that penalty for us. And only by believing in him and trusting in him alone can we have eternal life. We need to confess our sins to God, trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Why wouldn't you want to follow him? As Peter said, "Who should we follow? You alone bring us life. You alone are the Son of God." Have you personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? As you think about Thanksgiving, do you have a hard time coming up with things to be thankful for because you thought, "I worked for this, I earned this, I've done all this, I've worked hard. God's not really in the picture"? If that's where you are today, I would invite you to spend some time in his Word. Find out who God really is. He reveals himself in his Word, and he revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Savior, I would invite you to do that today. Come talk to me. I would love to hear about this exciting step in your life. If you're watching online, you can contact me through the church and we can talk online or even meet if you're in the area. That's the most important thing that you can do in your life, is to have a right relationship with God. And he invites you to do that this morning. Just to give a couple thoughts as we leave this morning, how are you doing with worry and anxiety? Are you remembering God's faithfulness, his blessings? Do you give God praise and glory for the things in your life, or do you tend to take credit for them yourself? Is it easy for you to come up with a list of things you're thankful for? What's your prayer life like? Is it filled with thanksgiving and praise to the glory of God? Are you bringing your requests to him regularly so that you can see how much we need him day by day? Are they more about thanking God and glorifying Jesus, or are they just about the things you want? Mark's going to come. We're going to close in a final song. But as we think about these blessings, have you experienced this peace? The peace that passes all understanding, knowing that you are right with God, knowing that he loves you and accepts you unconditionally. The more that our lives are characterized by prayer, thanking God, recognizing his presence in our lives, the more you will find peace. Be sure that you are showing and telling your family, your friends, and God how thankful you are, especially this week. Mark, please come. We're going to pray in closing. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings in our lives. Thank you that as we come to you with prayer and supplication, as we bring our requests to you, as we bring our anxieties, our worries, our concerns to you, we thank you that you give us peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray in these coming days this week, as families may be traveling, as people may be separated from loved ones, that we would bring all of those concerns to you because you care for us. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all, from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, his Son, in all truth and love. In the name of Jesus, the only name that can save us, I pray. Amen.